Testing 1 2 1 2. Testing 1 2.
That's good. That's good.
Hello and welcome to the Shared Space Podcast with me, your host, David Rowles. In this podcast series, I will be looking at the world of work, business, and working solutions with a focus on small businesses and entrepreneurs and how many of them choose the co-working way, or what I prefer to refer to as a shared space. The idea for the podcast came about when the producer of this show, the one and only Julio Gonzalez, was looking for premises for a small studio for his company, Zyma Media. Zyma is a semordinal app of Remix. That's Remix spelt backwards. This was in the fall, autumn of 2019. And rather like finding the right house, whether renting or buying, it was no easy choice or decision, weighing up the pros and cons, doing the numbers and so forth, before finding novel co-working suited his business needs. Novel co-working and similar companies provide a location for entrepreneurs and small businesses to operate from. But it is simply more than a retail space and storefront. However, that was only 9 months ago, and during that time, the world and the global economy has been overcome and disrupted by something that business owners and even economic forecasters never saw coming: the COVID-19 pandemic. So, with the world of work in such disarray, the original idea for this podcast seemed even more relevant, as the future of the workplace will undergo radical changes rather than a more natural evolution. But hopefully, one that, while with a little less physical shared space, maintains and encourages the sharing of ideas, resources, and the human connection. I hope this podcast will give entrepreneurs and business people a shared space to share their thoughts of the world of work, workers, and business in the here and now and the near future, and hopefully inspire others to see the benefits and even to do the same. To borrow from those great Beatles songstrels, Lennon and McCartney, we can work it out. And in this introductory podcast, I would like to introduce a very important guest who is the producer of this show and who really inspired this podcast. As I said earlier, the one and only Julio Gonzalez. Welcome to the show, Julio.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
It's going great, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. What more can I say when you're the producer of the show? So, yes, maybe you can tell our listeners today, you know, how you came about, you know, bringing your business to co-working, why you chose co-working, why you chose novel co-working.
It was an idea that came about in a podcast meetup in the Rosslyn area, Podfest, the DC chapter of Podfest. Hector Rodriguez, who also works with us, him and I went to this Podfest, and it was great. Great presentations. It was a great moment to see other podcasters, meet other people in the space of podcasting. But one of the most impressive things for me was the co-working space where this conference took place. And I was really attracted to the space, to the facility, to the businesses that normally would be there. And that day we took over the space. But I was wondering, what if co-working spaces had a studio, you know, a studio for producing their own podcasts? And since that's one of the things that my company, Zyma, does, that idea was born, and I started thinking about moving my studio into a co-working space to be in the midst of all these new ideas, all these businesses being born, growing, it took about a year for us to decide and look at different places, different prices, different locations. And we are right now in the Old Town Alexandria building. That's the location we chose because it's close to my house, because it's a great, beautiful, artistic area of town. If you know the DMV, as we call it, the Maryland, Virginia, and DC area, Old Town is one of those centers of culture and history. Heritage is super beautiful. This is what George Washington used to rule from. There was no DC when he was president. So you have all that history. You have the Potomac River and National Harbor right across from it. The MGM, you know, across from National Harbor. It's an area that's in big development, is really close to DC, like two traffic lights away from the airport, two metro stops away from the airport. It's a really a prime location, but the people and the community and the way you interact with other people, and you're going to hear that in the podcast, because we're going to bring you all those voices, all those businesses that live here and that work here.
So you talk about Zyma Media there. So what actually does the business do or make or produce, or what service does it offer?
We are mainly a media production company, and we do a lot of podcast production, a lot of podcast post-production, editing, recording. We do some live streaming and video production as well. I have been in media for many, many years in the DC area. I was both in advertising agencies and also working for broadcast facilities, broadcast production. So what we're trying to do is help new organizations and new businesses with their media production.
And what were the alternatives to novel co-working when you were conducting this search a year ago?
I don't want to name names, but I will. The usual suspects. For example, WeWork was one of the ones we obviously looked at. I have some great friends that have their own businesses that have moved into WeWork, but their prices were higher. The ability to change the space wasn't that great. The same thing with Convene. I really liked one company that was in the same block in D.C., in Washington, D.C., from one of my clients. And the company's called Convene, and it looks really great. Beautiful spaces, you know, just great service. But also, you couldn't adapt the space to your business. In my case, you know, I have a lot of production equipment. You know, we have a actual recording booth, which is where you are, Dave, and a lot of gear, which is the room that I'm in, the control room. So I came to Novel, and one thing that I know about them is that they own their properties, the buildings that they have, and that's one big difference with WeWork. WeWork rents from owners, so the things that they can do to a building are limited by the owners. And Novel is growing at a slower pace as a company because they're not just, you know, filling the market with new venues, but they are buying property in the different cities that they are at. So they can transform the building more and tailor to the new businesses coming in way more than these other places that rent from the owners. So that's one big difference.
So on that note, I mean, were you able to sort of put your own stamp on the space that you rented from Novel Coworking?
Yes, I was. Like I mentioned before, we were able to bring a soundproof studio as a prefab soundproof studio. from Whisper Room into my new office space. Another thing that, you know, Novel being the owners, they were able to facilitate a lot of the new office setup that we have. For example, I wanted to have whiteboard walls that I could write on and just be creative in the space. And they were able to do that. As they were preparing my office, I just provided the paint, and they did that for me. Those are some of the things that Novel can do because they own the building. You know, they can decide that they're going to do something like that. They also painted our green screen. Right behind me, we have in our office, we have a green screen. If anybody's in the area, you need a green screen, you need to produce a video, you can just come right down and we have the cameras here, we have the audio here, and you can stream from our studios. And they were really nice about that too. Like, I just provided the paint, they painted it for me. So it's those things, you know, that make it really easy to get your business moving faster.
And since you've been, how long have you actually been in the premises?
We started moving in November of 2019. It was a very complicated move. So it took us a few months to get it all working, you know, from building the soundproof room, which I know you helped have the pictures. Maybe some of those pictures will be in the website. So it took a while, and then, like, now we were working, but then we were hit by COVID-19. So that's kind of interesting how all co-working spaces have had to rethink what's happening in their space.
Yes, and hopefully, you know, throughout this, you know, series, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, I would like to touch on. And, you know, because obviously it's not just for co-working spaces. I mean, the whole world of work is, you know, dramatically changed. So.
Right. Another interesting thing, if I may, is media has grown a lot through this time. A lot of people have had to move their business into a more virtual environment, which a lot of the time means webinars online or videos or podcasts, because we cannot be together. A lot of festivals and conferences have had to move online. So it's been interesting. Even though we cannot be together, we have been very busy in terms of preparing those events, materials, media events for people.
Yeah, that environment for those.
Right. So, I mean, I want to say, if you are trying to figure out how to move your business in that direction, that is something we can definitely help with.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly say, I mean, I know, you know, friends and family that are listening to a lot more podcasts, you know, during this time. And, you know, people are really, you know, absorbing so much more, you know, media information and from different sources, whether it's through social media, through their screens, through their ears, you know, with podcasts. So it's, and I think certainly with podcasting, it's a great way of, you know, for businesses to keep that connection with their consumers. So, you know, it's great that in this age of technology that we're actually able to do those things. I mean, if we were talking about 25 years ago, it would have been a whole different story. So, it's great that you know, we do have the technology there to help us. So,
right. Another thing that's been happening that relates to media, it's there's been an outburst of creativity in the world. You know, people stuck in their home, they're writing songs, they're making concerts, they're writing poetry, they're imitating paintings with their family. There's such an outburst. And that's another thing that I think businesses can take advantage of, the license that this pandemic has given us to rethink. And actually, that's what Cimer means to me. The name comes from a robot that was in the wall of my kids' rooms, and in an ABC painting that they had, and the R was a robot. So I used to make stories for my kids that the robot was a DJ, and he used to rap songs for the kids. And I gave it a name, and it was Cymer because it did remixes of songs. So it's the word remix backwards, Cymer. And I know there are other Cymers in the world. There's a band in, like, that's Scandinavia, right. Or whatever. And then there are a couple other accounts on YouTube. And that's interesting. It's some other dyslexic creators out there thinking of the same term. So I had that name in there. And when I had to form my company, I really loved that name. So I gave my company that name. But to me, it means... Cymer means permission to rethink, permission to reverse engineer something, permission to change things, you know, to take what you have and to do something new.
Yeah, that's a great philosophy, I have to say, yeah. Inspired by your own kids?
By my boys.
Which makes it even more touching. So how did you stumble upon the name Shared Space for this podcast?
Well, actually, there was a whole list of names that we went through, like the co-working podcast, co-worker. But one of the things that I love, the more I learn about psychology and business, is the input that you can get from other people makes everything richer. And you helped us come to the shared space, which was one of the favorites, but wasn't at the top. And you brought it up to the top. And I love what you did in your intro, mentioning how the worker part of the definition is kind of outdated, and the shared is more important, and how the way technology and the internet and everything that has happened in our society makes co-working spaces available like this one, and the access is more important than the ownership now. And I think that's a very important concept and something you need to consider when you're considering co-working spaces. Access to those things, access to other people, access to a community is way more important than owning things anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as you said, you know, I think before, that about sharing, you know, it's a shared space for everybody out there too. Right. To, and obviously with the advantages of, you know, not just our type of media, but certainly social media these days for younger people to, you mm-hmm. know, to make their voices heard.
I should mention something. Is that it's a name that can go some other place, like this season or this, you know, first series of stories we are focusing on co-working and our life here at Novel Co-working in Old Town Alexandria. But, you know, it could go to so many other things that are shared and in the same space. And I love that, the openness of that name. And actually, I'm not the only one that loved it, because we just found out when we were buying the URL for the name, which is sharespacepodcast.com, by the way, when I started the podcast channel on Audioboom, that's the company that we use, Audioboom. Check them out. They're great. Great people. the best. They're the best. We're going to edit that out. I'm not going to promote that guy here. No, and I found out that there's another share space name in podcasting. And actually, it's a brand new podcast by Erin Peavy, right? And she I just saw a few episodes that she put like 2 weeks ago, and we really want to cheer her up and encourage her. It doesn't matter that we have almost the same name as the podcast. We hope for the best for you and for us. And that's what happens in this world. You know, like, we think of great names like that, and she did at the same time. I think she's into interior design, if I'm not mistaken. And we wish her the best of luck. So if you're looking for us in iTunes, you might find her, or you might find us. So there you go.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, now that you've moved into the studio, and obviously, you know, we've been through lockdown and, you know, obviously social distancing, Have you been able to actually get into the studio much at all during this time and actually still carry on doing your work? I mean, obviously, I from what you said, with a lot more media production going on, obviously you're busy, but how have you been able to actually operate your business during this time?
Well, one thing that's great at Novel is that they have been open throughout. We have some essential businesses in the building, broadcasting being one of them. So we have been able to support our clients with remote production from the studio, remote recordings from the studio, lots of podcasting recordings that we do. We have a bunch of laptops open around here with Skype calls coming in and interviewing them from the studio. So that's one way that we've been able to continue to use the space. And luckily, they have been open. They have been very safe and keeping the social distance that we have to. The offices have been rearranged to accommodate for the distance that we have to keep. We have to wear our masks when we're walking around the building. And they have been very diligent about keeping everything hygienic and sanitized. So it's been good in that way. Like I mentioned before, I've been very busy with production in a different way. We lost a lot of business. We lost a lot of scheduled webinars that we were supporting. But at the same time, we have engaged in new products for some of the same clients that needed to shift their focus to COVID-19, for example. A lot of production, a lot of calling shows where people can ask those questions about how to navigate this very strange time.
Yeah, indeed. It's and obviously it's not over. So it's do you see there's going to be some change in terms of how people return to work? And is this going to help places like co-working to develop as new creative centres, do you think, now that people are being more creative and innovative, as you were saying?
I think it's going to change everything. And one of the cliché terms that's going around is we're going to have to adapt to a new normal, kind of like what happened with after 9/11 with the TSA. And how we have to board planes, taking our shoes off in the line and, you know, going through the scanners. We're going to live in this world, at least, you know, for the foreseeable future until we get a vaccine and everything normalizes. It's going to change the way we do business. And it's strange, but I think people are fatigued of the isolation. They're fatigued of the quarantine. We have learned to be more careful, and I expect people to get back to business and recording and hope to use the studio more for many things like audio production, because this facility is mainly for recordings, you know, the booth where you are sitting, for both, you know, podcasts, audiobook recording, singers, songwriters. I expect all those people to eventually come out of their hole and start producing again. We have to continue. We have to get back to why we are here.
Yes, indeed. It's you know, and I'm sure, as you were saying, while people have been creative, you know, all these writers at home, I'm sure they've been writing some great material. You know, and they just can't wait to get into the studio to record it. So yeah, let's hope, you know, it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And in terms of audio and video production, I mean, does, for those people that don't have a space that want to do these things, what advice would you give them, or maybe what service can you provide for them even?
There's a lot of things that people can do by themselves with little or no money, with their iPhone, for recording, for video production. One thing that we do is support those businesses that have too much on their plate. You know, when you're seriously thinking about growing a business, you can't do it all, you know, and it's helpful to have somebody who already has a process for media production to come in and help you edit your videos, you know, put them out, or your podcast, or do your live streaming so you don't have to figure it out for the first time or every time you want to do one, or to serve your clients in that way. So that's one way we can support new businesses. We also have lots of advice for how people can do this kind of work wherever they are, from their home. And we haven't publicized this, but we're starting a new branch with Hector Rodriguez. He is starting a new company called Technology Group, and he is an expert in designing systems for companies, big and small, podcasters trying to set up their studio at home. He has helped me so much with everything that has to do with my company. And we do that for big, you know, universities, and also for the small podcaster, you know, in the middle of the country. So, yeah, just reach out. And there's so many things you can do. It just depends on how much production value you want to put into your product.
So, I mean, any budding podcasters or people that really want to get into like audio and video production, do you have any like one nugget of advice of how to go about it, or where to start, or?
Yeah, I actually kind of have a bit of a pet peeve with imitation. There are a lot of people out there trying to have a podcast that sounds like somebody else, you know. A lot of them sound like NPR, and they sound like Ira Glass. They sound like Serial. And that is really good for Ira Glass. Uh-huh. The genius about that sound is that nobody was sounding like that when This American Life came out. Nobody had that inner monologue, confusion of mind, in that space, in the radio space, which sounds a lot like old-timey radio.
Indeed, yeah, that's a good description.
But nobody had done it on the radio recently.
Yeah.
So that's the genius, that he did something new. So the genius, I would say, is to use your voice, your thoughts, your creativity, those ideas that you write down and you never publish. That is the one thing that will make you stand out. There's already a Tim Ferriss, you know, there's already a Seth Godin. We already have Ira Glass. So we need you. We need your voice, and we need Dave, you know.
Oh,
and I love your...
I was just waiting for that.
I love your British accent. I love my accent, you know. And we're in this time that, you know, with the protests outside, we're fighting for diversity, and we need that. We need you. We need your voice, your quirkiness, your weirdness. Somebody will connect to that. And it's about quality, not quantity. And I'm going to get into social here. Like, people are jacked up about the numbers. You know, like, how many followers? How do you get more followers? Well, but that's just noise. Like, they're not really listening to you.
Yeah.
If you buy followers, they don't care about you. But if you connect to another person, if you connect to another business, if you connect to another group of people that really need the help that you can give, that's worth way more than the numbers of followers or even the quality of your product. You know, like, I work in media, so I want to produce something good, and we have great mics here in the studio. But it's not about that. It's about the human connection. I always say a phrase that I heard from a professor long ago: people are the only source of value. So connect to those people, serve those people, figure out what it is that you can help with, and that's going to make a great program. That's going to make a great product. And then the tools are easy. Like, you know, you can start small and improve. And yeah, if you need help improving your media, let us know. But that's my advice. Just, you know, find a purpose.
Great, great stuff. No, and, you know, when you talk about the, you know, the human connection there, how important that is, and especially in this time of, you know, yeah, with the protests, you know, to, you know, encourage, you know, that diversity and, you know, that human element of connection is, yeah, something that's, yeah, is very important. So, yeah. And on that point, do you think, you know, that's something that attracted you to novel co-working? Did there seem like a greater sort of like human connection there?
Yes, I think there's a great level of community that I feel in here. And there's great diversity in the companies that I see represented. They do a great job of creating events and creating communication, especially the community managers at Novel. And that's something that I like and admire. If you follow their social media, you'll see that they're getting along and they're helping each other. And I like that.
And on that community approach, I mean, for example, obviously in your line of work, maybe you have to do recordings, you know, in different parts of the country. Obviously, Novel Co-working, they have other premises around the United States. I mean, if you needed to drop in to use one of their centers, say, like you needed a workspace for half a day while you were in, say, for example, Nashville, or as a Novel Co-worker member, I mean, are you able to access such facilities, or is it merely just in your own premises where you are in Alexandria, Virginia?
No, actually, that's one of the great things about being a member of Novel Co-working. If I'm traveling, you know, to the West Coast, around the East Coast, you know, in a lot of the main cities for business in the U.S., I can just change my location in the app and reserve a conference room. We can't yet reserve the studio because we haven't put Cymer Studios all over those cities. That would be a great idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can work from any of those locations just by being a member like I am, you know, like you are. And this is great. You know, it's like you have an office in many cities in the U.S. already. It's great.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier in the show that obviously your location was, you know, like two traffic lights and, you know, two metro stops from Washington Reagan Airport, the domestic airport here in D.C. So, I mean, yeah, I remember when I first came to the studio and I was thinking, well, yeah, the amount of people that travel, you know, to D.C. for business, that may, you know, maybe working, you know, in whether it's in politics or for NGOs or, you know, all types of business that D.C., you know, caters for, that, you know, it was just, yeah, I mean, if you need to do some media work, just maybe it's a recording for, obviously, as you say, everyone's got a much more of a media presence now. You know, maybe they, you know, they need to hop off the plane at Reagan Airport and, you know, next minute, you know, they're here in the studio, you know, within 30 minutes, they've done a recording, you know, whether it's audio or video or both, and, you know, away they go. It's a great location, I have to say.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you need to pop in to do an interview or, you know, a live shot, live stream your webinar, we have the green screen, we have the sound booth, we have the cameras, the microphones ready for you. And it's just a great location. And I can say that of most of the where the buildings are. They really, Novel really, you know, looks to be where businesses are being born, where the industry is happening. And it's exciting, you know, like to think that you have a place in all those new and bursting business metropolises around the country.
So, and on that point, when you actually started up your own business, I mean, did you ever think that, you know, you would need a real sort of space to do your work, or did you think, well, I can, you know, I can carry my mic and my mic stand and, you know, my little boom box or whatever and just, you know, do it in someone else's, you know, space?
Well, I think in business and in projects, there are two moments. One is, and this is a made-up word, don't Google it, satisficing. So you look to satisfy the need. And the other one is optimizing, right? And I think you have to be very smart in knowing what's needed. A lot of people tend to optimize ahead of satisfying, and that can get you into trouble because that means you're stuck in a detail and you're stuck trying to improve something that doesn't need improving yet because you haven't satisfied the need. So you might be working on the color of something that is the wrong response to what your audience needs. And you need to work on the message first, for example. So going back to your question, yes, the business started very simple and the business started very much leaning on other people who had studios, for example. I've worked with many companies managing their studios, and that's where I learned to do, you know, everything that I do now. But eventually, I think you need to develop something that is your own, where you can, all those lessons that you learn, you can apply and have that level of control where you don't depend on the budgets and the permissions of somebody else, like owning the means of production. That has been a big theme of the move that we have done with Cymer. And it's something that's happening to all media. You know, people with their phones in their pockets, we own the means of production. If something,
I mean, as I said, you know, in the intro to the show, you know, part of my sort of philosophy, that's why I like shared space rather than sort of co-working, because to me it's, yeah, I mean, you're actually owning the means of production yourself. Right. So you're not really, you know, in the technical terms, being a worker. So,
right.
You know, so it's, yeah.
Right. I totally agree with you. And it's something that gives you a lot of freedom as a creative and gives you a lot of freedom as a producer to not have to ask permission to do things. And I think that's incredibly liberating for people. And it's something that we should be doing. And it goes back to what I said about using your voice and using your ideas and giving them legs, you know, to do, like this podcast, like this. Nobody's asking us to do this. This is something we want to do, is something that we're doing to tell our story.
Oh, that's right. You didn't ask me, no, over a beer. Yeah, I mean, for our listeners out there, you can probably find that hashtag, satisficing. Mm. Have I said that correctly?
Satisficing before optimizing.
Okay. So, Julio, I know you're a bit of an audio and video whiz kid, but the theme music for the podcast, yeah, you came up with the idea of composing and arranging it for the podcast. How did it actually come about, or what inspired you for the actual sound, and what does it represent?
As you know, I'm a musician by trade. That's how I started in the production world. My first job in the city was for an ad agency that needed somebody who knew how to use Pro Tools, which is an app that is used in both the music world and the broadcast world very heavily. It's very, very common, very standard.
Is it just for professionals?
No, there are a few very inexpensive options out there, and even a free one. I think they still have it, but you do have to, if you want to upgrade and have a lot of tracks, you do have to buy their hardware, which is not cheap. But it's a great, very stable application. That's why Broadcast uses it. I don't like it too much to create music, but I knew how to use it, so that's how I ended up there. But back to the music for the show, I just, you know, sat down in my patio thinking of ideas, because I like to create original music to most of my productions, even videos and podcasts that I work with that have their own music or have a music bed or a series of music beds that are used in there. I always try to have some elements of film scoring that I bring in with my instruments to bring more emotion, more transitions that are more real and respond to the story better than just, you know, slapping a music bed in there.
So is that another service then that Zyma Media provides?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you, if you need film scoring for your podcast, if you're creating a podcast that wants to go beyond the interview style, which most are, but if you want to do some storytelling or something that sounds more like Serial or new podcasts coming out in the drama, fictional drama, storytelling genre, that's definitely something we can help you with. And I like to create original music for programs, for radio shows, TV shows, podcasts. So we definitely had to create one for this one. I wanted it to be something that, you know, matches you really well. You know, your Britishness, your love of music. I know you love music. So I wanted it to be something that you felt comfortable with, that you felt energized by, that would speak to the eclectic nature of this space, this shared space, and the many conversations we're about to have in this podcast. So when I was sitting down in my patio thinking of things, the idea that came to me was a riff that I originally recorded in a very simple guitar, but it came to me in 5/4 time signature. So that's interesting because one of my favorite tunes is Take 5 by Dave Brubeck. And I've heard him mention that that song that is also in 5/4, Paul Desmond wrote it, his drummer. But they did it because they wanted to do something that wasn't in 4 or 3. I don't know if you know about time signatures, but most of the human music is either in 4, 4/4, or 3/4. So this one is in 5/4. And so it's a little broken. It's a little, it's got an extra jump in there that makes it very animated and interesting. Even if it's a repetitive rhythm, it continues to be interesting.
No, it comes across a bit more like a, kind of like a jam session.
Yeah.
So it does feel raw, you know, more natural energy.
Right. So then, you know, an idea for a melody came, like it sounded something kind of like this. As you can tell, it's a very raw guitar, very like Western and or James Bondish kind of like tone to it. But then when my wife heard it, I was working on the tracks and she heard it and she said like, "Oh, that sounds like the P90X track." And I was like, "Oh no, that's not what I'm going for." So then I added a piano track that threw it completely to a different place, more like Coldplay-ish. And it's offbeat. It doesn't follow the exact 5/4 tempo, yeah. So it breaks it into a completely different thing. So you can either follow the piano, yeah, or you can follow the 5/4. So yeah. you can find your place in there, and it's kind of like a nebula of sound that we can use in different things. You know, like we can mix it in as we're going out to break. You know, create all these elements that, you know, shows need.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sort of sums up the, you know, the show when we talk about a shared space, that maybe not all the pieces you think like generically fit and, you know, one size fits all. It's like the diversity of all the different businesses and the, you know, the people coming together with diverse ideas bouncing off each other. And, you know, I think, you know, there's something there for everyone. So, I think that really, you know, sums up the shared space.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's about. And that's how it came together. That's the story of the original theme music for our show.
Great stuff. Thank you, Hilo. Yeah, it's work of art. Certainly something I can put together.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Yes. And as Hilo said, yes, you can find the podcast, Shared Space Podcast, on iTunes and other good podcasting outlets. And similarly, yeah, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Shared Space Pod. That's P-O-D, without the cast. So Shared Space Pod.
Yes, also follow Cymer Media in Twitter. That's our parent company for this podcast, Cymer Media.
And you can also find the URL, sharedspacepodcast.com. Cymer.co, okay, but sharedspacepodcast.com. Well, thank you very much, Julio, for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
So, from me, your host, David Rowles, thank you for listening. And until the next time, when we meet again in this shared space.